that far away.
Glory Land is not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. What a happy day will be.
People say things are falling apart. I think they're really falling in place, don't you think? There's no need to doubt him now. He's got it all under control. Don't worry about a bit. Amen.
Looking back through the years, the heartache and tears, the Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I'll trust in his plan, for he said that his grace would abound, and there's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow, safely
so much for being here on tonight. 1 Timothy in your Bibles, please. 1 Timothy. What a joy to be here again. Faith Baptist Church. Wonderful church. Great crowd, I told. Brother Denny, I think that it's a bigger crowd this year than ever, I think. At least it seems like it is. Such a joy to see many of you that we've known down through the years. Preachers that are here that have been friends for since the beginning, really. And just it's a wonderful thing to see that you're still in your place doing what God has called you to do. It's a marvelous thing to do the will of God for your life and end up finishing well and be put in a box. And hopefully a preacher can say some good things about you one of these days because you finished well. And it's a joy to be here. I appreciate Brother Angel, of course, and Brother Coral, and the Faith Baptist Church is one of the great friends of Northwest Bible Baptist Church and Providence Baptist College. And I want to thank the church and Brother Angel for sure. And I remember a long time ago meeting Brother Coral. Brother Coral, I don't know how many years ago, not 40, but almost. And he had a little bitty publication, 8.5 by 11 little thing, I think he printed off somewhere. And he showed it to me. But boy, it's come a long way. And he's our publication now. And God's been good to him. And I'm certainly glad that he's doing what he's doing. And God is using him in a great way. I preached at my home church yesterday for the first time. I was there for the first time in a year after I resigned and went on the road. And it was just such a wonderful thing to be able to see the people again. I stayed away for a year. I think it was the right thing to do for the transition to go smooth, and it went seamlessly, and just great crowd yesterday, and just new faces, a lot of things happening, and it was wonderful to be there. Brother Kavanaugh was here, of course, tonight, and he coordinated a little for the staff kids and some of the staff, that platform staff, to go on a luncheon, and we went and spent some time with them, and it's such a joy to be with them again, folks that we have given our life to for 40 years. And it was marvelous, and I certainly enjoyed it and appreciated it. And Northwest Bible Baptist Church is alive and well, trust me, and I'm certainly glad of that. And I'm trying to raise some money for a church in Egypt. If some of you preachers are interested in that, you make sure that you see me about that, and the monies will be sent, of course, to the mission agency. But the first church ever in Egypt, Independent Baptist Church, what about that? Well, we've been living out of a suitcase, Kim and I, like gypsies, for a long time now, for a year. And I think the first couple of months I was out, I preached 80 times. And so she's not really settled with her, I mean, moving that much and traveling, sleeping in strange motel beds. And y'all, some of you guys that travel know what I'm talking about. So I told her the other day, I said, man, I'm tired too. I just want to be cremated. And she said, well, I'll make a phone call in the morning and make an appointment for you. 1 Timothy in your Bibles, please. In just a moment, when I'm through, you'll hear Dr. Kevin Wynn. I'm glad that he doesn't understand how important he is. And one of the great churches and the largest independent Baptist church in the world, I think. And it's amazing, amazing work. We were just there not too long ago. I don't know how long ago, but I think they did a pastor's thing there. It was like 500 preachers there, and spoke quite a few days there, and then preached on his Wednesday night service Wednesday. And he can't put them all in that auditorium on Wednesday and Thursday. It's two separate services. And I don't know, Brother Wynn, I don't know if the auditorium, does it seat 12,000 or more? 15,000? And so it was amazing, and preached both times, and had 263 baptized on the Wednesday night service. And so it's just, you'd have to see it to understand it and believe it. And two of the craziest guys that I ever met was, and he's one of them, how God could use somebody like Brother Wynn. It shows you that God could use anybody that's absolutely sold out, lock, stock, and barrel for him. I'm sick and tired of people looking at talent and preaching ability versus just being sold out totally to the Lord. And Brother Wynn is, and I can tell you a lot of stories about it, but I sure love him and Debbie, and I'm glad that you'll hear him in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and if you can stand, would you please stand and respect the word of God? Pick it up in verse 16, if you would. I'm going to be very light tonight and try to get out of the way and let Brother Wynn do his thing. And he has been in pursuit of souls for this many years, and that's why God has used him in such a great way. And so I want to get out of the way, but I want you to look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Look at it one more time. Take heed unto thyself. Father, help us a little while on tonight. Would you give me power and unction from on high? I pray that you'd bless, Lord, these few simple thoughts that I'll have tonight. And I pray, Lord, that somebody will benefit from them. Pray that, Lord, it'd be a setup for Brother Wynn as he comes. We thank you for this conference. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Coral and Revival Fires, Lord, and all that it means to this country and his books and his writings. And, of course, Brother Angel and Faith Baptist Church. Pray that you'd bless this conference that we've been praying now for over a month concerning this meeting. And I pray that you'd bless him as he lead on. We pray that you'd help us and bless us on tonight, please. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak a little while on the subject, the self-watch of a Christian. The self-watch of a Christian. We have casualties. Every time I hear casualties in our military, it bothers me, losing those boys in Afghanistan the other day. It bothers me when I hear about casualties of our American soldiers. But it also bothers me a great deal when I hear about casualties in our ministries. And a lot of it is because we don't do the self-watch. I want to talk about that tonight. Self-evaluation and self-introspection is profitable if it's done honestly. Paul is telling his preacher boy, Timothy, to watch carefully and to evaluate your life and your teaching. Paul, in context, was telling Timothy that his own personal conduct and as a leader was as important as an example to the believers. A person's life and teaching is of extreme importance, for if they are wrong, they, as well as those that they teach and preach to, may end up in hell if they're wrong scripturally. And this book, Paul is writing to his young son in the ministry, instructing him concerning this matter of his calling. I want you to notice, please, in chapter 1, you have the preacher and his privilege. And in chapter 2, you have the preacher and his prayer life. In chapter 3, you have the preacher and his priorities. In chapter 4, you have the preacher and his preaching. And in chapter 5, you have the preacher and his practice. In chapter 6, you have the preacher and his perseverance. And I want you to focus on chapter 4, if you would please, the preacher and his preaching. I want you to look at it in verse 14, if you would please. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If you're going to be the right kind of person, the right kind of preacher, you have to be the right kind of person. And so I want to speak a little while on that self-watch of the Christian. What is that watch? What is the self-watch? Well, first of all, it's a personal watch. I want you to look in verse 16 one more time. Take heed to thyself. This personal watch is a self-evaluation and introspection of what kind of Christian are you. Brethren, the problem is that sometimes we always never see ourselves as we really are, and sometimes we see ourselves far better than what we really are. It's amazing how we can always point out the fallacies in your life, but we never can point out the fallacies in our own life because we'll not get honest with ourselves. This matter of this personal watch, this self-watch, take heed to thyself. Paul was telling his preacher boy, you need to really do a deep dive into yourself, because sometimes when we do a deep dive in ourselves, we see some pretty ugly things. And we like to think we're good. All of us here never really want to be honest with ourselves. The things that nobody else knows but God knows. That deep dive will hurt you sometimes because it'll point out some things we talk about and sing. There's nothing between me and the Savior, but my friend, at times there is. And that deep dive will expose something. Getting honest with yourself sometimes is a very liberating thing. It's called getting real, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we put on Sunday, and we put on Sunday Christianity. We can show up, and everybody gets their suit on, their tie, and the King James Bible, and strut in. But on Monday, it's not the same. The personal self-watch. It's something that we need to get down. And I'm just asking, are you allowing the world to get in some? In this day and time, it just seems like it's thrown in our face, and no matter what we do, it just gets all over us.
Right.
Before the priest could go in the Holy of Holies, he had to clean up, my friend.
Right.
He had to clean up everything, his hands, his face, and even his toes, dirt between his toes. We got a lot of stuff going on in our lives, and sometimes we don't even understand what's going on. I'm simply saying that self-watch is a personal watch. You see, we know how to do church well, but we just don't know how to do character well. The test of a man's religious life and character is not what he can do in exceptional times when he's in the spotlight, but in the ordinary times when nobody else is watching, when he's not in the spotlight, that's what God is seeing. Not when you can stand and perform, not when you're before the crowd, but when you do by yourself when nobody else is watching, I want to know what God thinks about you. See, reputation is what man thinks about you. Character is what God knows about you. You've got some men with great reputation, has poor character with God Almighty. So we need to understand the difference. So we got to see that thing. And so many can rise to the occasion, but to everyday life, they fail as a Christian. And we need to understand, this is why I run with these men, some of these men. Greatness is not known in years, it's known in decades. Many of them, my preacher friends have been in this for a long, long time, decades, 10 years, not just a few years that you can maybe rise to the occasion, but been around for a while and just carved it out and been kicked in the teeth a few times. Let the devil take you to the woodshed a few times and still come out and stand strong for God Almighty. That's what he's looking for. So it bothers me sometimes. And I met with my neighbor in Iowa. He's big in ag business, big shot in ag business. I talked to him and I asked about an individual that I know, and I will not mention his name. And when I mentioned his name, he jerked his head around. I said, "You know him?" He said, "Yes, I know him." And I said, "Well, what about him?" He said, "He's evil." This guy's an independent Baptist. Not my man, the guy he's talking about. I said, "Man, what are you talking about?" He said, "I'll just put it this way, preacher. When he dies, I'm coming to his funeral." He said, "Because I want to make sure he's dead." Boy, when I heard that, I didn't say any more. I just said, "Whoa." So whatever that, listen, folks, I'm not being unkind. I'm talking about an independent Baptist man that's supposed to have a great testimony out there, not in here, out there. And there's a man I've been trying to lead to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't tell him he was an independent Baptist. As a man I'm trying to lead to Christ and been working on him for years now, I wasn't going to tell him he's one of us. How's your testimony? I said, how's your testimony outside these four walls? What do they think about you? Do you pay your bills? Do you do the right thing? Do you speak right? Are you kind to folk? We live in a very ugly world today. And trust me when I say this, man, it's easy for me to get ugly back to ugly people. In fact, there's a couple of ugly people on the platform right now. But anyway, sometimes we just put on our Christianity on Sunday. Do you love him with all your heart, mind, and soul? So not only the personal devotion to Christ, but also the private devotion. Look in verse 7 and 8, if you would please. Look at what it says. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather than godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Your private devotion, not only your public devotion, what people can see, but your private devotion when you're alone, when nobody else is really looking over your shoulder. I'm asking you, how is that with God? Dr. Tom Malone used to say often, he said, before you blow your trumpet, make sure there's light in the pitcher.
Right.
How's your Bible time?
That's good. It's good. Amen.
Is this the first time you picked up your book? I mean, sometimes the first time people pick up their books is on Sunday, and they hadn't picked it up since last Sunday. Don't freeze up on me, folks. It's true. This is what happens sometimes. There's no Bible. There's no love for that book. There's no plowing through it and studying it. And the only thing you're doing, you're living on the preacher's spirituality. The only thing you're doing is when you come here and you hear his message, and that's all you're living on. You don't feed yourself. You don't eat yourself. I'm simply saying, how's your Bible time? How's your prayer time? Do you cry out to God? Our nation's in trouble. I have begged God, Lord, please don't get me off on this stuff of our societal cesspool. I don't want to do that in this meeting. I'll let Brother Wynn do that. I just don't want to get it. It's too much to say, and I want to keep my Christianity. And it's hard to keep your Christianity knowing what's going on out there. But I'm asking you, how's your prayer life? Are you praying for your leaders? Are you praying for your country? Do you understand this matter of holiness? Do you live holy? I mean, there's two sides of every coin. You know and believe is one side, and living and obeying is the other side. A preacher's job is to preach right doctrine and exhort right living. But to the Christian, their job is to know right doctrine and to strive for right living. And that's what you need to do. When we don't hear sermons just to come be entertained, preacher. People, I mean, I was a Roman Catholic for 20 years. When I got saved by the grace of God, I refused to come to church and just come just to say I was religious. I wanted to come and get everything I could. I love my preachers, and I've exalted them and helped them, and I've tried to do everything to do to honor them. All these years, Brother Smith here preached the gospel to me when I got saved. I owe him a lot and will always brag on him and have across this nation everywhere I go. You preachers know that I'm preaching for you. I talk about Brother Smith, Brother Buchanan, the man who gave me the chance and gave me an opportunity, one of the men that gave me an opportunity. I'll never forget that ever. Jack Howells, the man that I sat under for 4 years there at the college that helped me out and prayed for the north side of the city where I've pastored now for 40 years. And begged me to consider if they would call me. The Great Northwest Bible Baptist Church, many of them are here tonight. And I love them very much. And I'm glad that I obeyed God. I've tried to honor my preachers everywhere I go. Because there's both sides. They had preached to me when I was a puppy dog and just getting saved. And boy, everything I could get, I would get. And I Brother Smith can tell you, man, I got this big legal pad and I wanted to study doctrine. And that's all I did. I was just saved for a little while. And I told him, this is what I told him. Preacher, I'm not getting enough. He was giving enough. I just wasn't getting enough because I wasn't being fed enough. I wanted more. He was giving me all I needed, but I wanted more. Right. And he put me on a doctrinal study and I started filling out these big old legal pads full of doctrine, wanted more. I've been lied to for 20 years. And I was tired of being lied to. I wasn't going to be lied to anymore. And I knew what the Holy Ghost of God did for me that day when I got born again. The conviction of God Almighty came upon me, and I came and got saved. There's some folks in this room think that you're saved, but you ain't never been under conviction. You're living a lie, my friend, is what you're doing. You ain't going to never get saved until you get under conviction first of your sin. You got to get lost before you can get saved. I'm simply saying that there's two sides of the coin. Truth that is known but not obeyed works against us. Truth not applied is worthless. Life and living is not living if it's not doctrinal. And so we need to understand that matter, that it's a personal devotion that we have. Some have too much religion to be comfortable at a dance, but too little to be comfortable at a prayer meeting. It's amazing what happens and how we kind of judge things like that. I'm asking not only is your personal devotion but and your private devotion, but how about your public example? I want you to look at verse 10, if you would. Look at it. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example, do you see that, of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come give attendance to reading. Joe Boyd, this is why it's hard to sell our books off the table. Joe Boyd used to say, fundamentalists don't read. That's almost the truth. And so we see that, look, give attendance to reading, do you see that? To exhortation and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on the hands by the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them that, watch it, thy profiting may appear to all. In other words, when you have a walk with God and you have the self-watch and it's a personal watch, People can see that in your life and say, man, that guy's a prophet. Every preacher here knows what I'm talking about. When you get somebody saved and all of a sudden they begin to grow in grace in Christ, you can see they're profiting because they're receiving the Word of God and it's changing their lives. Amen. There's something about hearing preaching that sometimes we're not understanding correctly. We're not here for entertainment purposes. We're not here to just get the religiosity on us. We're to get changed when we hear the preaching. Do you come prepared to be changed that you're going to hear something, if it's just one statement, that you're going to hear something that's going to change your life forever and ever? I was changed when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he loved me. An old long-haired, bearded hippie boy. I just shaved my beard. I shouldn't have shaved it. I had it about down to here. The wife and my daughter did plaited way down here and put two little. Two little pink things there. But anyway, I shaved. I said, I'm done. Some of you stinking Pharisees, I just said that for some of you. You stared at me when I said that. You wouldn't have Charles Spurgeon or Moody or any of those speech for you, would you? My good friend Dr. Dwayne Nichols has been sick, and I was with him the other day, and he's very sick, and I'm glad they finally got some help. But he's so sick he couldn't even shave, so he came to his pulpit unshaven, and he's almost got to walk, and he's got to sit down anymore. And he had a beard, and folks, his people were staring at him. He reached in his pulpit, and he got two books of Spurgeon and Moody with their beards, and he held them up like this. He said, I'm in good company. To all to see that they may profit, that you're profiting from this. So it's not only a personal watch, folks, but it's also a doctrinal watch. I want you to see in verse 16, and unto the doctrine. It's a personal watch and it's a doctrinal watch. And unto the doctrine. Do you see that? It's the book of God that keeps us doctrinally straight. It's not your little internet preachers that people go to and try to find out what's going on and listen to these stinking little boys that couldn't blow the dust off the devil's hat, ain't got no power in their life, and they just type this stuff. And we got guys on the internet pastoring our people. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. That book's going to keep you straight. You dwell in that book, my friend, you're going to be a Big B Baptist. I said, if you're in that book, you're going to be a Big B Baptist. I'm sick and tired of people putting down Baptists and saying, well, it's just Christian. Well, I'm a Christian first, but I'm a Baptist by conviction and by choice. Big B Baptist. I'm simply saying that book will keep you straight. So I was trying to lead a man of Christ last week, and I was talking to him, and I said, are you from India? Yes, I'm from India. I said, wow, we built several churches in India. And he goes, oh. And I go, well, man, look like you're excited about that. I said, are you a born-again Christian? Are you saved? He goes, no. He said, my philosophy is Jain, J-A-I-N. Some of you have seen those temples around. He said, what we believe is that if you treat people right, you go on a level, and then when you do better, you get on another level, and then when you really get good, you get on another level till you reach nirvana, way up here. And he said, it's called karma. I said, okay. He said, so, see, we don't clap our hands because there's microorganisms. And we don't want to kill those. Because they believe in reincarnation, right? I'm staring at this dude. You know? And he said that we don't walk on grass because there's little things living in there. And we don't want to kill them. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just making fun of him. Listen. And he said, we don't want to walk on the grass. He said, we don't eat meat. Good. He said, we don't speak loud because there's things living here and we don't want to kill them. One of my men, I don't know if he's here tonight, Brother Gatto had the same experience with one guy. He said, well, come here. You can't step on the ants and all. He said, what's all them smushed bugs on your car? How do you drive your car? I can't talk. I can't walk on the grass. All I could do is stare at him. I go, dear God, if this man ever walks at Providence Baptist College and see all them dead animals walk, he's going to have a heart attack. And I said, what I'm going to do is bring him to the where I got like five warthogs out of Africa, and said, is this your uncle? Gee. That book will keep you. Pick it up in verse 1. Look at it. It's not man's opinion. It's not man's dogma, but God's word. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and we're there now, that some shall depart from the faith, apostatize, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hard iron, forbidden to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, there it is, which God hath created. Do you see that? God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. If you talk to my wife right over here, you can ask her. We just started our 15th year of marriage. She has not been to the meat market one time since she married me. We have a way of getting free, organic, pure, wholesome protein. I chase them down and kill them, and then I pick them up out. I don't play golf. They don't cut the grass where I play, and you can boil them, try to eat them, but they don't work good. But I tell you what, man, protein is good. Look at what it says here about they abstain from meat. It's amazing. You might be a vegan here, and that's fine if you're doing it for health reasons, but a vegan is just a poor hunter. Look at verse 4. And every creature, look at verse 4, and every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I'm simply saying that book, the doctrinal watch, that's where we get our doctrine right there. And those that go off doctrinally will apostatize. They will depart from the faith and embrace doctrines of devils. These seducing spirits are just that. Listen, look at it. The seducing spirit. They seduce the weak that are ignorant of doctrine into these rock and roll churches and are embracing ungodly, unholy teachings and living. I'm not being unkind, folks. These girls, they're wine sipping and rocking and rolling and going to the movies and fornicating and doing all that. If you think I'm ugly, go ahead and think I'm ugly. But that's what's happening in the rock and roll churches. If your doctrine's wrong, your morals going to be wrong every time. And, buddy, I know where they're at, and I know who's there, and I've talked to them. And when they walked in the Northwest Bible Baptist Church, they'll say this: I feel God in this place. Well, you don't feel God where you went? Look at me. I'm talking about Willow Creek. I'm talking about Harvest. All those churches around us, when they come to our place, they say, we feel God in this place. They say that. We don't say that. They say that. And then when I get to preaching, you need to be born again. They lean over to our members. What does that mean? They have never read John chapter 3, and some have been members of the church 20 years. God help us. I'm simply saying that doctrine, that's where we get it from. And they end up being seduced by these spirits. They end up unholy teaching will produce unholy living. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, for such a false apostle, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Think about the way them dudes dress. Brother Paisley, you'd really look bad in blue jeans with your knees knocked out. It's okay if they're knocked out if you prayed them that way, but they get them little tight shirts and they sit right here in the first six rows, a bunch of women lusting after them. God help us, man. But that's what's happening in the rock and roll churches, and we're losing some of our kids to them. Yeah, we are. Because they're not embracing the doctrines. It's a shame that y'all are depending on the preacher to do that when the home is the place. The church is not a bomb shelter for your children. You need to be teaching that stuff in the home. The home is the extension of the church, and the church is the help extension of the home, and we ought to work together and make sure your children come out of that thing and know doctrine, and they won't get away from it. They don't even know what Baptist is. They don't even know they're supposed to be Baptist. I'm simply saying that the doctrine of salvation must be protected and defended of all leaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to protect the doctrine of salvation. There's too many guys out there talking about a work salvation. You better get away from that stuff. You'll end up in hell believing that stuff. You better get that down. Protect that doctrine. Are y'all with me? Look at it one more time. The self-watch is a personal watch, but it's also a doctrinal watch. You see that? The doctrine of separation must be preached. Those that get mad at us for preaching separation, a lot of times Brother Angel will run off to some of these rock and roll churches where they can sip wine and come back all tattooed up. It's a shame that some of our kids are marking their bodies up. I love you, Brother Coral. And you and I came up with a bad background. You were a bouncer and I was your job security. But I don't have one anywhere. I got a lot of scars and you do too. Folks asked me, I said, I never got so drunk while I get a tattoo. And I feared my daddy enough. They ain't happening. We got Christian kids that came out of our schools and our churches tatting themselves up. That's the underworld stuff, man. Somewhere they didn't get it. You don't have to amen me. I know what I'm talking about right now. It's crazy what's happening. And if I ever get one, it's going to be a big deer head right there. But anyway, it's a doctrinal watch. And so we need to understand that thing. It's a doctrinal watch. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's something about separation that's not even been preached in our pulpit sometimes because preachers don't have enough guts to address that issue. How sad it is that God has called you to preach that book, and then you only preach parts of it, the parts that people like, instead of preaching it all. Why don't you just go ahead and preach it the way it is and let the chips fall where they may. And if the Holy Ghost is right and God's in it, he'll change lives. He changed mine. I told this story here before, but the man back there, when I came in with long hair and long beard, and, you know, mothers grabbed their children and men their pocketbooks. And when I walked in, he nailed my hide to the wall, preached on Amos 3:3, can two walk together except to be agreed. And when he never let me off, he never let me off the mat. He nailed my hide to the back of that pew and never let off the gas. When he gave invitation, I raised my hand. I knew I was lost and on my way to hell. And when he gave invitation, I responded to the invitation. When I stepped out, I wanted to go back outside, smoke a cigarette, and just blow this thing off. And as I preached on Sunday at my home church, sometimes Jesus only passed by one time. And his visitation, you better respond when he passes by. And I thank God that I did that day. And man, I got saved by the grace of God. Started coming, started cutting my hair. He had preached, just killing me, man, killing me. I cut it. He said, cut your hair. I did. And I was sitting with old Deacon. I told this story here before, but sitting with old Deacon, and he had his arm around his wife, and he'd flip my hair. Now, some of you ex-hippies know what I'm talking about. Don't touch my sticking hair or break. I'll jerk your arm off and beat your death out with it, man. Don't mess with my hair. He's flipping my hair. So I cut it a little more. Brother Smith, cut that hair, you sticking. You're like a girl. You look like a girl. See, now, you guys wouldn't do that today because you want to get the crowd instead of the right crowd. It's amazing. I got a butch boy haircut, kind of like some of you preachers right now. Got a butch boy haircut right here. And then he started preaching on, why don't you jump in with both feet, bless God. Get in. Stop all this compromising. He said, get in, be a man, cut your hair. And the man was sitting there, and he started running his finger around my ear. Man, I got so stinking mad. Now, folks, that was something before I was a preacher, and I would get mad. And I wanted to whoop that old man, but he was right about it. And I showed up with a military haircut one Sunday morning. Brother Smith was in the foyer. I looked at him. I said, we're going to preach on this morning. He grabbed me, hugged me. He said, God's going to use you, boy. Amen. Now, I never thought he would, but I'm simply saying that isn't it amazing? We need to preach that doctrine of separation. So many doctrines we need to protect, and this doctrinal watch of baptism and church membership and tithing and giving and missions and prayer and the Great Commission and soul winning and compassion and too many to mention. We need to protect that. The self-watch and also is a personal watch, but also a doctrinal watch. We have nothing to pass on to the preacher boys if we don't keep the doctrine pure. The only way to keep it pure is by the Word of God. It's a doctrinal walk and watch. And a personal watch, but also a continual watch. And I'll be through in just a minute. Look at it, if you would, in verse 15. Continue in them. Your future and your future souls are weighed in the balances. Your children's future and Bible believers are at stake. I don't know about you, but we need to pass this to the next generation. I'm always thrilled and excited when I meet some child that tells me they're third or fourth or even fifth generation Christian. My heart leaps. Because, boy, that's not heard of too much anymore. I'm trying to tell you that it's a continual watch. And if you do that day by day, this self-watch is an everyday watch. This self-watch should be a self-examination every day. When we wake up, say, I'm going to get in my book and let God speak to my heart and make sure that I'm right with this thing. And it's amazing when I plow through that book, as Kim and I do very early in the morning before we do anything. When we plow through that book, man, it either comforts my heart and I'm shouting, or either it's cutting me deep. That sword is two-edged. And it'll separate that flesh and spirit. And there's something about it that just absolutely would do it. So Paul said, I die daily. Watch for the snares, the darts, the philosophy, the roaring lion, and the weapons of mass destruction. You don't have to like what I'm saying. I could give a rip. But I'm telling you right now, that has done more to hurt our churches than anything I know. There are people who used to have a walk with God. They're all at, if you think I'm kidding, go to the airport like I do all the time and see people. Just look around if you don't think that's the God of the people and that's not taking us away from God and walking with God. And this is everybody. Used to pray. Used to read the book. Used to spend time with your family. Now you're spending time with an object. It's a crazy thing. We can't even have church anymore without one going off. Well, let me continue, because some of you don't like what I just said, but it didn't matter. I'm just simply saying that it's amazing if we're going to watch all these snares the devil's going to throw away. You better watch that one. They come to kill, to steal, and destroy. I want you to look at verse 16 one more time, please. I'll be through in a second. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Look at verse 6, if you would please. Look at what it says. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Look at verse 15, if you would. Meditate upon these things, giving thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, look at it well, may appear unto all. Every preacher in this room knows what I'm talking about. You pastor people that might get saved, and all of a sudden you see the glow of God on their faces. They're singing out, and they're just praising God, having a wonderful time. They're out soul winning. They're doing different things, and you're seeing them growing in grace, and you can tell. Preachers with any discernment can see that something's happening in their lives. And then you can also see people that are digressing. That's what backsliding is called. It's sliding back. It's not turning you back and walking away. It's backsliding. But man, there's such a thing as front sliding too. And it's a good thing when you're meditating in that book and giving yourself wholly. Look what it said in verse 15. Giving yourself wholly. And all can see that you're all in for Jesus Christ. And that's what it's talking about, wholly. I'm talking about wholly, fully. That's what the Bible talks about, giving ourselves as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Are y'all with me today? Amen. Crawling up upon that altar and dying to yourself and living for Him. When was the last time we ever had invitation where somebody just stay on the altar and not get off the altar and cry out to God and cry for hours? And we have our little invitations. They come and then they go back to the seat. When was the last time we ever had somebody just sprawl out on the altar and we have to lock the door and said, just when you walk out, and they cry themselves back to God? When was the last time we used to hear? And we used to hear this when I first got saved. We'd go to revival meeting, people on the altar, oh God, oh God. We used to hear that. We don't hear that anymore. In fact, we got a dried-eyed fundamentalism today. It's amazing how God is not jerking on our heartstring anymore. We're so sidetracked and distracted by all these little things. I want you to look at it one more time. All can see the profit of that. And we're putting the brethren in remembrance of the doctrines, lest they fall into the seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. If you don't believe that's happening today, you're going to have to explain what's going on today. How in the world are you going to have 500 teenagers in the last 3 nights in Chicago just go on a rampage if that ain't demonic? You say, I don't know what demon possession is. Just watch the news and watch Washington, D.C. and our politicians, and you'll see. So you've been ugly. Absolutely. I'm simply a seducing spirit, doctrine of devils. I got to close. I was, in 1978, I was on staff at Central Baptist Church, and I sent people to pastor school. I had never been to pastor school. Cedar Fitz and I were close friends way back then. He'd come take vacations all those years. I had never been to First Baptist. I heard Brother Howells. I'd never been there. And I would send people to pastor school. I always wanted to go, but it always had things going on or going to have a child or whatever. So I decided in 78 I was going to go. I wanted to go. And I remember Carla was much, much pregnant with Joshua. And she said, please go. You've been wanting to go. Please go. And I did, and went and stayed with CW there. And I didn't know these men. Of course, I had not been saved but 4 years, but I stayed in the house. I stayed in with Earl Little. I stayed in with, he was a pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church at the time. I stayed with Joe Boyd. I stayed with, who's the guy that rode, I Want That Mountain? Anyway. Bill Harvey, and those guys, and I didn't know them. I didn't have no, but I was a young buck, and I would drive them and let them off at the front, and they'd walk in. I'd go try to find a place to park, and if you've never been there, you got to find one or steal one, and then I had to walk all the way back and stuff. But I was glad to do that for those preachers. I didn't know who they were. Ed Oates was there with us too. We're sitting in pastor school. I didn't know come here from Sikkim. But I remember Brother Howells preached on fresh oil. I'd never heard that, tears flowing down my face. I wanted that he was talking about. And people on the altar, and then this man sitting to me, Ed Oates, said, do you believe God could use me again? And I looked at him. I didn't know him. I said, well, why do you think that he couldn't? And about that time, all those preachers, those big preachers, leaned in. And they said, Brother Gomez, you don't understand. That man is Brother Howell's nephew. He was our evangelist at one time. He said, this man right here, when he'd walk into a public place, they'd shut it down and gather the employees, and he'd preach to them. When he'd preach in churches, there'd be at least 100 folks walk the aisle for salvation. He said, the guy had the power of God on him like nobody that we've ever seen. He was our evangelist at one time. And I just stared at him. And I said, well, brother, why could you not do that now? He just started sobbing. He said, I'm a very wealthy man now. I'm in the oil business. I'm on my third wife. He said, I couldn't do that again. I'm not saying this to defame him. I just simply asked him. I said, brother, what happened? You know, that's the thing about it. We won't diagnose what happened when people get off. And this is what he said. He said, I just didn't read my Bible one day. Now, see, that's too simplistic to some of you. I just didn't read my Bible one day. And then I didn't read it the second day. And then there was another day. And then there was another day. I hope y'all getting this. It's called a self-watch. He didn't have a self-watch. And if we don't, we're going to end up in the same condition one day. There's a lot of guys, and that's why I said greatness is in decades, not in just years. It's a lot better than all of us in this room has bit the dust. The self-watch, so very important. Father, I pray that we'd heed this message. And I pray that we'd take heed to thyself, ourselves, and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. I pray that you bless this simple, simple, simple message tonight. Bless Brother Wynn, our friend. We love him and thank God for the great work that he's doing in Mexico City, such a needy place, and you use him in such a great way. Use him tonight in power. We thank you for this church and this group now, Lord. Bless this entire meeting, Lord. This